And you've got a bit more on the cancer front for us, Norman.
Yeah, I mean, you probably saw, I think it was the Australian story by Richard Scollier, the melanoma pathologist who ironically got glioblastoma, which is the commonest form of malignant brain cancer. Essentially, it's a tumour with a terrible prognosis. Being part of the team that developed and tested and pioneered immunotherapy for melanoma, the idea was that he would become his own guinea pig for treating glioblastoma multiforme, and he's on that treatment. And it's interesting that just in the last few days, there's been a publication of another form of immunotherapy. Maybe, Tegan, what I should do is just describe the different forms of immunotherapy so people get an idea of what's going on here.
Yes, please, because I'm definitely rusty and need a refresher.
So the immunotherapy that Richard Scollier's on is immunotherapy that are essentially drugs that interfere with what happens when you get a cancer. Is the cancer is very good at stopping the immune system attacking the cancer. Otherwise, the natural tendency would be for the immune system to recognize many cancers as foreign and attack the cancer. Kidney cancer and melanoma tend to be cancers which stimulate the immune system a bit more than other cancers. But nonetheless, the cancer finds a way to block it. These immunotherapy drugs find different ways of unblocking the immune system, finding the blockage, unblocking it, which then unleashes the immune system on the tumour. And essentially, many people with advanced melanoma are either cured or well controlled with immunotherapy. Now they're trying it with glioblastoma, which is a very difficult tumour to treat because if you give a drug into the vein, a lot of it doesn't get into the brain because of something called the blood-brain barrier, because the brain protects itself. And once it gets in, chemotherapy particularly doesn't work that well. It works maybe for a little while and then stops working. It's a really difficult tumour. Anyway, the second form of immunotherapy, grossly simplifying the story of immunotherapy, is actually not using a drug, but using a person's own cells. So it's cellular therapy. It's called CAR-T, meaning chimeric antigen receptor T-cell therapy. So you take the person's own T-cells, part of their white cell population. Then they're genetically engineered to take up a receptor, a lock and key mechanism specifically designed for the tumour, so that when you grow up the T cells outside the body and then reinfuse the person's own T cells, they head straight for the tumour, attack it and kill it. At least that's the theory. It's been used successfully on leukemia, lymphoma, multiple myeloma, essentially blood-borne cancers. But a group in the United States at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, part of the Harvard Medical School, is trying it on glioblastoma. Tiny study, but with interesting results. Here's Marcella Maas, who I spoke to earlier, director of the Cellular Immunotherapy Program at Mass General in Boston.
We actually engineer the immune system and put it directly into the fluid around the brain, because the immune system, even if you activate it in the rest of the body, doesn't necessarily get into the brain as well.
Just to reinforce for the audience, we're not talking here that you've found a dramatic cure. It's really the journey to finding better treatment. And what you develop were these T cells, these white blood cells, which in a sense, like sniffer dogs, have been trained to hone in on and attack the brain cells. And in fact, part of the brain cells that express this receptor called EGFR, epidermal growth factor receptor. What percentage of glioblastoma actually have this receptor?
About 80% of glioblastomas have the EGFR target antigen or receptor on their surface.
So in other words, it hits the majority of tumours. And these were people where their tumour had come back. So there were people who were not in good shape in terms of their future. In brief, what were the results?
Like you were saying earlier, we're excited because it shows an early evidence of some activity. What we saw is that soon after giving patients back their engineered CAR T cells into the fluid around their brain, they had very dramatic changes in the magnetic resonance imaging, which is how we look at brain tumors and assess how they're doing. It looked like the tumor was going away. And there's really nothing else that we know of that does that in glioblastoma, aside from surgery. And so we were impressed with that.
It was a very small study. How long did the effect last?
In two of the patients, we saw that their tumors actually started to come back, even though they had these dramatic regressions early on. It came back within 6 months. But in one patient, it looks like the tumor continued to get smaller and had not come back beyond 6 months.
I mean, again, this is a tiny, tiny study. It's really just a proof of concept.
Yes.
But what was it about that one person, do you think, that allowed this to work more effectively?
We don't know the answer to that yet. You know, it's not unusual in cancer treatments for some patients to respond and some patients to have longer responses than others. But you're absolutely right. This is 3 patients on a small study. So it's really too early to get a sense of why one behaved differently than the others. But we are encouraged that all 3 of them had these dramatic changes, at least initially. And that makes us think that we could perform some maneuvers to try to increase that durability of that regression.
One of the responses in Australia, there's a lot of interest nationally, in the community actually, about immunotherapy, because a very prominent cancer pathologist, actually a melanoma pathologist, has got glioblastoma, and he's actually become his own experiment in immunotherapy of the brain, because they pioneered immunotherapy here in Australia for melanoma. Could the traditional immunotherapy drugs be used in association with CAR-T?
As you know, there's a lot of different kinds of immunotherapy. The immune system is quite complex, and so I think it is open to various combinations. CAR-T is just one form of immunotherapy, and it could potentially be combined with other forms of immune therapy.
Well, what were the maneuvers that you think could make your treatment more effective?
What we're thinking about doing next is actually giving a low dose of chemotherapy before giving the CAR-T. And that's because reducing the immune cell counts just before you bring in new ones kind of helps the new ones stick around longer.
So you're just trying to clear away the existing white blood cells a bit to give the new white cells coming in a clearer territory to attack.
Exactly.
Now, this EGFR receptor is expressed in other tumours, particularly lung cancers in women who are non-smokers. Could this treatment be used for that form of lung cancer?
I think it's a little bit early to tell. I would say that right now, sort of engineered to really be a focus for brain tumour as opposed to a tumour in the body like lung cancer.
Now, immunotherapy and CAR-T are not necessarily benign treatments. They're not treatments without side effects. What toxicity, again, in this very small sample, did you notice?
We didn't know what to expect. What we did observe is that in all 3 of our patients, almost like clockwork, they got a fever about 8 hours after the infusion. That tells us that the cells are active and they're doing things immune cells do. We also saw that the patients got a little bit sleepy and confused in the first couple days. That got much better after 2 or 3 days.
And finally, one of the problems with CAR-T is so expensive. Bloodborne cancers, it's about $300,000 US, I think, to do a treatment. I mean, is this a practical treatment to scale up for all the people who've got glioblastoma?
This is in the early phases of study. There's been so few treatments that really make a difference in patients with glioblastoma. Our focus so far has been more on the science and the biology and if we can really make an impact in the disease. I do think that you're right that these therapies need to become available and accessible to the patients who need them. And I'm optimistic that the field has learned how to make cell therapy, and the process that we use to make them is not so different from the current products. And I hope that that will bring down some of the complexity and the associated costs.
Well, we look forward to seeing what results you get from your future experiments.
Well, thank you so much. I do too.
It's Marcella Maus, who's director of the Cellular Immunotherapy Program at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. And I think really ran that story, Tegan, to describe the journey, the cancer research journey, as much as the destination.
Oh, absolutely. I do really feel like they've chosen the trickiest possible cancer to try to attack, though, with this method.
Yeah.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music, and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.